Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for staying with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. David Dossie is our guest. David is with us now. He is our intellectual property, one of our intellectual property attorneys in the Brain Trust. He is my personal IP attorney. He is a partner in Gallagher and Dossie, which is a law firm in the great state of Ohio that specializes in intellectual property. We would have called him years ago a patent attorney, and I guess that is still technically correct, isn't it, David?
It is. It is. We just want people to broaden their horizons.
Broaden their horizons. Welcome back.
It's always an honor. Thanks for having me.
I think it's okay to make this announcement of our news, David, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
David was responsible for helping me to secure the registration of Ask Jim. You've heard me talk about our knowledge base, AskJim.biz. And it is now a registered trademark. Ask Jim is now a registered trademark, as is Small Business Advocate. That's something that David helped us get a registered trademark on, and we have others that we're working on. But that was a little success story, and that was an interesting process that we went through, David.
Absolutely, you know, it's all about you're on the forefront of the small business owners thinking about building your intellectual property portfolio and doing it strategically, and you know, this is just another feather in the cap of the Small Business Network IP portfolio.
Well, exactly, and folks, and I only bring this up. You know, I don't talk about myself a lot. I only bring this up to show you. Some of the things that other people are doing that I've been doing, and I want to get you to consider it too, because what you said just now, David, you know, was being aggressive with your and strategic with your intellectual property strategy, but not passive with it.
Absolutely.
or even worse than passive, indifferent.
Exactly, and unfortunately, that's what you see with probably majority of small businesses, is that they have a hard time recognizing that intellectual property strategy is different from just maintaining trademarks and making sure you pay all your maintenance on time and other intellectual property aspects. That intellectual property strategy, it really is fundamental to a business's strategy, you know, nowadays.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, Kenneth Crozen is the guy that we think of when we think about some of the statistics, David, I think you want to talk about today, and that is that the ratio between fixed assets, things you can carry and count and knock on, fixed assets, inventory, buildings, etc., that used to be the vast majority of the assets on a company's balance sheet. And to a much lesser degree, you know, 10-20% were intellectual property like patents and that sort of thing. But as you point out in a piece that you sent me, David, and as we've talked about in the past through some research that Kenneth Crozen did, another friend of ours who's also an IP attorney, those numbers have inverted, haven't they, David?
Oh, absolutely. Nowadays, you know, there was just a study out by Pricewaterhouse that said approximately 90% of worldwide corporate net worth is attributed to intangible property or intellectual property.
And only 30 years ago, it was a reverse of that. It was 70-30 or 80-20 or something like that. 80 tangible, 20 intangible. And you know, David, this is a topic I talk about when I go out and talk to small business audiences across the country. This is a very key element of my speech, and I ask them these questions. I ask them, you know, would you rather have a truckload of all the things that you sell, or this little USB drive that holds the coolest way to deliver all that stuff, and only you have it? Which one would you rather have, the truckload of inventory or this device with this knowledge inside it? And you know what? Before they know I'm going to give them the device, they take the inventory. But once then when I say, okay, behind door number two is this other thing, and guess what? They all take it, and they're more and more. Everyone is nodding their head that they agree with the numbers that you said, the ratio you gave us a minute ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's staggering because large corporations have dedicated people that they can assign this task to, and small companies just often feel it's out of their realm.
Well, it's out of their realm. They don't have enough time. But guess what, folks? We got to do it. And we're going to talk some more about why and how we'll do all that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back with our good friend, David Dawson.
Many things I can define. Occasions, fuss, wagons, clutter your mind.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, David Dawson. He is one of our top intellectual property attorneys on our Brain Trust, and my corporate intellectual property attorney. He's the guy who takes care of me in the world of our intellectual property. And as you know, that's what we do. I mean, that's what my company does. That's what Small Business Network, Inc. does, is we create intellectual property. We create content. And so David, it's easy for me to, because that's the world I live in. It's easy. It's that's my product. Intellectual property is my product. We create it every day. Every interview I do is a piece of intellectual property for me. And so I could see someone saying, well, sure, Jim, you know, that's what you do. You think about it all the time. But folks, if you have a distribution company, if you manufacture stuff, if you have a retail operation, if you have a grocery store, I don't care. You're creating intellectual property sometime during the year, aren't they, David?
Totally true. And more importantly, even if you're a small mom-and-pop ice cream shop, if you don't know, at least recognize the intellectual property of your competitors, because it's a great education, but if you don't know the advertising campaign that Cold Stone Creamery is doing, or you know how they're spending their money on marketing, well, you're just putting yourself at a huge disadvantage.
Well, exactly, and so it could be offensive in terms of your own stuff that you're developing, but it could be defensive in terms of you infringing on other people.
Absolutely, and I think that any small business owner listening, if they don't have a paper file or an electronic file, you know, dedicated to each of their five strongest competitors where they have tucked away, you know, well, at least I checked this month and I kind of know what they're doing, you know, whether it's an advertising campaign for a pizza joint or it's a high-tech company requesting small business research grants. You know, all this information is out there. If you're not kind of out there monitoring and mining it, other people are, you know, so you need to get on the bandwagon.
You know, David, one of the things that I think makes what we're talking about worthwhile is there's some business owner out there right now who's about to launch a really great idea. I mean, something that's just the coolest idea. It's a nifty way to think about things, or it's a great approach or process or whatever it might be that's really could be significant. But that person initially doesn't have the capital to really, or maybe even the interest in really developing and spreading it worldwide. But that could be picked up by a bigger company, somebody who's less not all that ethical. And his idea could be stolen from him, and he could, and then they would, you know, register it, make it a trademark or record it as theirs, and if you know he could take them to court if he wanted to, I guess, but he's got to come up with the money to do that. I mean, but if you've identified and have recorded and maybe even registered your idea, it belongs to you. It's your property, and they have to buy it from you. They can't take it from you.
Oh, absolutely.
And so folks, just think about that. Think of, if nothing else, just think, okay, maybe I don't know what I've got right now, but I'm a thinker. I've got ideas. I hope I can come up with a great idea one day. And so just be prepared. Every time you have something like that, what should they do, David? Should they say, okay, I mean, should they try to identify things as trademarks and a registered names or patents? How should we think about it?
Well, I think that, you know, as you preach, you've got to have, first of all, a fundamental business plan on what you're going to do with your idea, your product, whatever it is. And once you've identified that and weighed your risks on what other people are doing in the market, and try to think of where your company would be in 5 years. And then you can kind of sit back and assess costs associated with each thing and make your decisions, at least in an educated format then, knowing the capital that you have and, you know, identifying whether it's key to have your product patented or patent applications filed, even if just merely for the fact of keeping competitors at bay because your product is patent pending.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently saw a good story on those Croc shoes.
Right.
You know, that's a huge company.
I personally don't own any of those, by the way, David.
Okay.
Do you?
Well, neither do I, no.
Okay, good.
But, you know, I thought it was over a $300 million a year company, and I just checked their patent portfolio. They have had 12 patents issued in the past 18 months, and that's one of those products that when they initially thought of it, I'm sure that the business side of them said, well, there's nothing patentable here. This is
right.
Like a rubbery shoe. You know, and I think they have the market pretty well locked up for that kind of design of
mm-hmm.
a shoe.
Yep. Well, you know, and folks, just to show you that, you know, that I haven't always been as keen on this as I should have been, there was a time I actually came up with a name that I used and that I still use, but somebody else got the trademark on it. A big company got it, and they started using it. And even though I was using it first, they got it registered, and so they started using it themselves. And David, just as I said a few minutes ago, if when they started using that and they started doing the research on getting that name registered in their own name, they would have found me, and I would, if they really wanted it, I would have gotten a phone call, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I would have gotten a phone call, and they said, okay, Jim, how much? And this was a big company, ladies and gentlemen. No telling. It was an opportunity I completely missed. And I won't make that mistake again. I hope you won't either. Tin Till, right back. Got an announcement to make right after these messages. Stay with us. For you there, Ann and Nancy Wilson sisters. That's their music. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's not me singing. I know you're not surprised about that. Nor is it David Dossie, our intellectual property attorney. David is a partner in Gallagher and Dossie. David, give us that website, please.
It is invention-protection.com.
Let's check it out. Use it to your advantage. And by the way, David and I we've been working together for. We've known each other for a long time. We've been working together for a couple of 3 years, but we have never met face-to-face.
That's right.
So, folks, you can work with intellectual property attorneys without having met them. We've had some great successes and have learned a lot of things and done some good stuff. And so I certainly recommend David to you, and you don't have to meet him, although we got to fix that one of these days, David.
Well, I saw that picture of your golf swing on your website, so I know we need to get out there and
you know,
get
I need
to golfing.
You know I need lessons. That's what you know. David, this is a big day in your life, in my life too, and really everybody in the world, really. Today is the day, 1452, when Gutenberg's Bible was first published, the first section of the Bible.
That's
it was
amazing.
The first book ever printed on type. See, prior to Gutenberg, most everyone was illiterate. There was no constituency for reading because there wasn't anything to read. And so Gutenberg changed all that. The press, the movable press, changed all that. I read something, David, that within 50 years of today, that there was something like 2 million books in print within 50 years.
That's incredible.
Isn't that something? I've forgotten. It may have been more than that, but it was just it was in the millions, and it was a staggering number to me to think that they went from zero, basically, to a couple of million in 50 years. And see, David, I base our current intellectual journey on this day, having originated on this day, because from that moment on, people became literate. We started reading because we had things to read. We started sharing ideas. We started recording our ideas and passing them on from generation to generation. And we went from a wheel to a computer, didn't we?
Right. Well, wasn't it in the mid-80s when one of the big blue chip executives said, we're not getting into personal computers because no one would want one of those in their home?
Exactly. Now, that's exactly right. Everything changed. And we've been on this journey ever since, and it's been a fun ride, but we have to realize that we're no longer in the industrial age. We're no longer even in the information age. We're in or the digital age, I should say. We are in the information age, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's even beyond digital, I guess now. Although digital and information is probably interchangeable, but I mean the things that people. The things that you mean to your customers, what you mean to your customers is not about what you sell, because they can get that anywhere. It's how you deliver it and how you make it easy for them. Isn't that one of the keys? And that's all around intellectual property.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So we folks, as you look at your business plan, as David said earlier, as you contemplate your business plan, as you develop it. Don't build it around the commodities that you sell, because we all sell commodities. Build it around your unique way to package it. And once you head in that direction, David, then you're in the world of intellectual property.
Right. And I tell people all the time, ask yourself, what would it take for you to be able to charge a 25% premium? How can you get there? Think strategically on how you can get to that premium level.
Well, and there's no reason why you can't do that, because what you're doing when you use intellectual property, when you leverage it more in your business, what you've done is you've given people a better way to do business with you. And David, one of the most important things I think that comes out of this is you find ways to save people time, and more people are valuing their time more than their money, aren't they?
Oh, especially if you're in a service industry like me. If it takes me 5 extra minutes to order office supplies from another company, well, I can put a price on that, and I know I can pay that much more from a company that just, is totally seamless.
Absolutely. No question about it. David, give us that website one more time.
It is invention-protection.com.
David Dossey, ladies and gentlemen, with us on the anniversary. I haven't done the math on this, but the anniversary of the Gutenberg Bible. David, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I want to remind you, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.